Good afternoon, everybody. Hope everybody had a... Oh, sorry, I didn't wait for that. hope everybody had a good lunch. Just want to say thank you very much for all the sound people and everybody who get all this set up. This is something that is a labor of love, and we all appreciate it. And I'm not used to this one. This one looks like a gerbil on a stick. So if it's a squeaking noise, it's not me. It's the gerbil. I'd like to start by turning to a scripture that you may not think that I'd turn to on this day, but I'd like to start there. Please turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. We're actually going to start at the Passover, even though this is Pentecost today. We're going to read verses 31 through 34 real quickly, and then we're going to start from there. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And he, Peter, said unto the Lord, "I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And he, the Lord, said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day three times before you deny me." Little did Peter know that in those few short lines that Christ told him, he foretold Peter about his weakest moment and one of his greatest triumphs. And they were all going to happen within a short 7 weeks of each other. Why did Peter fail so miserably the same night that he told Christ how much he wasn't going to fail? And then how did he make such a huge turnaround in such a short period of time? The meaning of this great feast day that we are observing right now holds the answer to this question and will help to guide us in our own lives to be transformed as Peter was. So let's go back and see where Peter started from. Peter, as we know, was a very strong-willed person. And he was a very self-reliant individual. We see that he had a tendency to put his foot in his mouth, to take things into his own hands. "I can do this. Don't worry, Lord. I got this." You know, in the vernacular, it would be, "Hold my beer. Watch this. I got this." More like Sacramento wine, probably. I don't know. But sometimes he acted and he spoke without thinking first. I know I've done this many times. And that's why God gave me a good, strong wife to let me know when I did that. One night, Peter was actually rebuked by Christ three different times for being brash and trying to worship and stand up for Christ in his own way and using his own strength. And the same night, he was also rebuked by his own words. Okay, so you don't have to turn there, but we're in John 13, this is where Christ says, "I'm going to wash your feet." And Peter says, "No, no, no, you'll never wash my feet." Christ says, "Oh, yes, I will. I have to, or you've got no part with me." And he says, "Fine, wash all of me." He wasn't getting the point. He was making it up himself as he went along and not relying on Christ. He thought he knew better. First he said, "No, nothing." "Okay, nothing. Now all. I know better. I'm Peter." But he was rebuked by Christ. Second time he's rebuked that night. Peter says, "I will follow you unto death." And Christ says, "No, you're going to deny me before that rooster crows three times." He's been rebuked a second time. Then the third time, in the Garden of Gethsemane, now he gets real bold. He chops a guy's ear off with a sword. How did he just get the ear? I never got that part, but must have been terrible with a sword. But Christ says, "No, stop. That's not the way you're going to do this." So three times he's been rebuked by Christ. And then the fourth time, he denies Christ. A little girl or a young lady says, "Hey, do you know him?" "No, I don't know him." He runs off. His own words rebuked him as that rooster crowed. I always picture that in my head as that rooster crows and maybe he turns and he can right with Christ, and he sees him, and he knows what he did at that moment. Sometimes I feel that way when I do something stupid. But if you think about it that way, can you imagine how his heart would have just sunk? Four times he's rebuked in the same night. Three by Christ and one by his own words. So now all of a sudden, Peter runs off. He's absolutely devastated. Where was the bravado that he had a few hours ago? He had just argued with Christ multiple times about how strong he was and how he was ready to die for Christ. He even pulled out a sword and cut a guy's ear off. And now a few hours later, the young girl asks if he knows Christ, and he says no, and he runs away. Peter had now gone through half of the transformation that we're talking about today. He had gone from a self-reliant and brash individual to someone who was now broken and humiliated. And had he stayed at that point, Satan would have sifted Peter like Christ had warned earlier. So let's go back and look at those words again about the sifting. That's Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." What does it mean to be sifted like wheat? How is that done? So if you look into the way it was done, they would go through and they would harvest the wheat. Beautiful, tall wheat stalks with the grain right on the end. They're all golden. And they blow in the breeze. It's really beautiful if you've ever seen a field of wheat. And then they go through and they cut it. And then they bundle it up. And then the first step was they would take it to the threshing floor. And they would take that wheat one of two ways. They either lay it on the ground and have animals pull large machinery basically over it to break it loose of the stalk. So it's rather violent. Or they would take it and they would actually just take it and beat it against the ground. Just beat it against the ground over and over. Think about that as you're thinking about what Christ said Satan wanted to do to him. Just take him and beat him against the ground. And this would be a hard ground, maybe stone on this ground. But that's not where it ends. After they've done that and the grains of wheat have come loose from the head, then they take it and they put it in a bowl, and now you need a little bit of wind. And you take it, you throw it in the air, and it's blown around by the wind, and they keep throwing it in the air. And the chaff, which is the protection on the outside of the grains, gets blown away. If it's too windy, it blows the grain away too. Now there's a third step. Now after you've been tossing it all around, now that's all that's left is the grain itself and bits of dirt and rocks and other things like that. So now they have to sift it like you would panning for gold, to sift out, because you have to get that away. So that is what Satan wanted to do to Peter, to beat him, to toss him around, to drag machinery across him with large animals, figuratively, not a gerbil. And that's what he was doing to him. And all of that was going on broke Peter and humiliated him. But that's not where the story ends. Remember, Christ prayed for him and then also said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So let's jump forward about 7 weeks to today. And there was a huge change in Peter. The question for us today is, why was there a change in him? We've all gotten beat down before. We've all been winnowed on the threshing floor, right, of life? So why did he change and have what happened in Acts 2? And can we learn something from that? We read at the beginning of the chapter of Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit is given, right? And God did what he always wanted to do, and he put his mind and his law, and he wrote it on the hearts of men, okay? That's what he's been wanting to do the whole time. So why is today such a special day? Because today is the same day that happened. So why did that help Peter so much? Acts 2 verse 13, it said, "Others mocked," this is talking about the Holy Spirit, "these men are full of new wine." So these are people who are not believers, and they stand up and say, "This is crazy." Remember what happened to Peter earlier when they said, "Do you know Christ? Are you part of him?" He ran away. He said, no, that's not me, and ran away. This time, in verse 14, he stood up with the 11 and lifted his voice, and he gave that sermon. He said, "I know Christ, and I'm going to preach him to you." Why had he changed so much? Just weeks before, he had run away. But on this day, he was transformed by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. No longer was he self-reliant or humiliated, because that's where he'd ended up, by his failure. But he was humble, but self-reliant on God through the power of the Holy Spirit. With the power of God, he was able to do what he failed so miserably to do not that long before. Christ had foretold this. He said, I pray for you, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Peter was converted on this day with the Holy Spirit coming into him, along with a whole lot of other people, and he stood up for Christ. Now, the giving of the Holy Spirit on this day was the difference between failure and triumph, between weakness and strength. So we must remember, today is a day of power. Today is a day of transformation. So we must call on the power of God in our own lives, just as Peter did. What is sifting you? What in your life is beating you against the threshing floor? Is it your job? Is it hard to stand up for the Sabbath? Or is it like, I just changed jobs and my job before was beating me against the floor. I loved my job, but I saw so much bad stuff that it was changing me in a not good way. It was hardening me. I was not being as Moses was in the sermon that Mr. Welch gave earlier. And I prayed about that. It was a long drive and all that, but that really wasn't as important as it was hardening me. And out of the blue, God gave me a window, a way out. He gave me a new job that isn't the same. It doesn't beat me down the same. And I can tell a change. That's just an example for me. But maybe your sifting is a relationship. Those who we're closest to are the ones who can beat us against the floor the hardest. And sometimes those are the people that are sitting in this room with us. Sometimes it's our family. We have to call on the power of the Holy Spirit to get over that. Maybe it's a sin that keeps coming back over and over and over again. We call on the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to believe that there's actually power and transformation in the Holy Spirit. So do we really believe that? Do we act like that? Today should help remind us that we have an ultimate helper, an ultimate comforter, the actual mind and power and essence of God. I know that in my own life, I have been like Peter many, many times. I tell myself, I can do this. I got it. I'll pull myself up by bootstraps. Don't you worry. It usually doesn't work. Can you guess how often that does work? It's not very often. Sometimes I end up like Peter, broken, humiliated. But with the power of God, with His Holy Spirit, we can be transformed into not self-reliance, but God-reliant and humble, yet strong. If we call upon His name, we can rise above the choking, sinful smog that is all around us in this world. And it often smudges on our garments that are supposed to be clean, white linen. I wish to be more like Peter in Acts 2. And this great day of the feast, as it ends, let us take a really good look at our lives and see where we are self-reliant and brash. See where we are being sifted, as Peter was. And find the areas where we are not acting converted. Because those are precisely the areas that we must call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And it must humble us, and it will give us the strength to stand up for God and His way. So let us all become transformed as Peter was on this very day.